And we are addicted to certainty. That's why we use a GPS. We want to only drive to the road that's going to take us to our destination. We can't dare get lost.
What a fascinating guy. I was rather blown away. Just such a relaxed guy. He just interacts with everyone. And
yeah, Renia asked me, and I didn't have a good enough reason to say no, so I said yes. And yeah, really looking forward to it. I think it's probably the biggest event that I'll ever MC.
Mark also referenced you as the person that got him on the trail of Pierre because of the podcast last year. I think, quite surprisingly, the guy that sat next to me, I just met him on the night and I told him I'm sitting here because we didn't know anyone else there. He's just started looking at me. He's like, here's the podcast name, which he heard 5 minutes before from me. He hears my name from the stage because Mark said, oh, yeah, John and Rudolph in this podcast, and Rudolph is here tonight.
Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolph and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. Welcome to The Right Place. You're back with John and Rudolph here, and today we're just going to be catching up on the events that we've attended in the first couple of months of 2025. Rudolph, how's it going your side?
John, thanks. It's been so busy over the last few months, and this year's really cracked on and been quite busy. So I'm very happy to be busy. Always better to be busy than not to have enough work. But enjoying life at the moment, enjoying what I'm doing, and trying to make an impact and make a difference in other people's lives. How's it going on your side?
No, excellent, Rudolph. I would say about the same. I'm working on some interesting projects with some cool companies. In the interim, I've stepped away from the Clara Business Network that came to an end with our last event with Christine de Toy in February. So that chapter is closed for me. It's been 5 years. So now we're looking onwards to bigger and better things. I see you've been attending some suits and sneakers events that side.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I have attended some of them in the past, and I try to commit to do a few more in the current year and actually try and do it more regularly as well. And I find that the interaction there is quite topical. It's like people are energized. They want to be there. And in my mind, it's a bit of a spillover from the big suits and sneakers events last year in November, because if you start talking to someone, they always refer back to that. And I think that just gave a lot of momentum to these smaller events. And I'm saying smaller, but it's still 100 or more people there. So it's not small. It's quite busy and rather packed. But I do enjoy it. I think the value that you get out of, firstly, the keynote that is always a very focused and very, very much a deep dive on certain topics is good. But then also there's some nice snacks and food and a drink if you want. And you can always chat to one or two people and get to know other people better and take it forward if you want.
No, excellent. Yeah, we've had some good two CBN events this year. In January, we had Kirsty Scully talking about financial planning and getting your ducks in a row, especially when a family member passes away. And then with Christine de Toy, we were going to talk about the budget speech, and we all know what happened there. It kind of got cancelled, but then we had to do a quick pivot to some Companies Act updates and a general chat about the state of running a business in South Africa, which is quite interesting. And yes, I must say I'm a little bit sad that the CBN has come to an end, but I'm almost glad that it's come to an end, especially my involvement there, because it gives me a little bit more capacity to focus on some suits and sneakers events coming up here in Cape Town and with Mark Sham and Richard Mulholland and a couple of other events coming. And then also looking forward to the Lacquer Network launch, which is coming up soon. But Rudolph, those two suits and sneakers events up north, the one with Eric Kruger and then with Pierre Duplessis, was there anything specific that stood out for you?
Let me start with the Eric Kruger one. So it was themed Rise. And interestingly, our training business is called Rise Continuity as well. It's registered as Rise Professional Training. So when I saw it, I'm like, I'm attending this one just to see if Eric didn't steal our name. But what an interesting talk on the day. And what I like about Eric is he's very much a structured keynote speaker. You almost know what's coming, except for the fact that you actually don't know what's coming. It tells you, listen, I'm going to give you 3 points. And so as you make notes in there, that you can actually wait for the second and the third point. And very, very structured and well-presented talk. First time I see him live in action, and I did enjoy it quite a bit. I think if we were closer together, we could have been good mates. We think alike and we structure our things the same. And that's maybe why I resonate with it a bit more. What stood out for me on the night is his little insert. He had a few examples and a lot of backstories and things, but he based the last half of his whole talk about the story of Garmin. And I mean, this whole talk is about how people perceive change. And we all know that change is a given. Change will happen, whether we like it or not, whether we're prepared or not. But you use the story of Garmin in that we know that they started off with GPS devices in our cars. Now, I think it was 2008 or so, Google launched Google Maps. And suddenly there's no use for a Garmin device anymore because you can get a free Google Maps on your phone and you can drive wherever, and whatever Garmin gave you is now free. And then Garmin pivoted out of necessity almost. They pivoted into creating a smartphone. And obviously, Apple was also in the market already, and the Google Maps worked on Apple, and it was just a failure. So they took a little bit of time. They took long to get into the pivot of what they need to go and do. And what they then did is they went back to a 2003 staff project where someone built a small tracking device / smartwatch that we all know now for your wrist. It was a horrendous thing. It was a big block almost that you strapped onto your arm. And they went back to that and saw potential in that. And they started investing that in that and building that out. And nowadays, Garmin is probably the leader in the fitness watch industry. And what Eric mentioned that still stuck with me is Garmin is the fitness watch with smartwatch features, whereas Apple and Samsung and so on is a smartwatch with some fitness features. And they differentiated themselves into this new market. And you mentioned some numbers, their turnover is massive and so on. So the whole backstory of them, but he built it out into these three points, and I can't remember them now off the cuff, but it's that they were ready for change. They anticipated the change. They opened themselves up for that change. They knew that they had to go. And then they enabled it. They actually drove that change. They went to go and find solutions and didn't just sit back and say, listen, belly up, we gone. So as you can hear, I quite enjoyed the talk. I think the value of what Eric gave on the night, and actually for free, is something that I can take with me in the longer term. And I posted on LinkedIn about it, and also obviously thanked Mark Shan because it's his event, he runs it. I made 12 pages of notes on the night, just sitting there on my phone, typing out what Eric is saying. And I think every time I go back to it, I find something new. So yeah, a lot of value out of just the keynote. And then obviously I had a good chat to some of the guys around me, and I really enjoyed it. And the caliber of the guys on the stage, I mean, Mark is obviously well known, but Eric Kruger is really stand out. I think that if ever someone gets an opportunity to go listen to something of his, it's really worth the effort and a bit of money maybe to go listen to him. How was your CBN with Kirsty Scully?
Yeah, it was a really good one to start the year off. We had Spice Root as our wine partner, which was absolutely excellent, and it was a very warm and positive evening. So it was good to cool down with a nice glass of wine and connect the network and everything. And I think my takeaway there always is everyone always assumes everyone else has got everything figured out. You think everyone's policies are in place, your wills, your testaments, your trusts and everything like that. But everyone has got something that they haven't done yet. They have got one duck that just isn't in a row, and it might be their will, or they've never discussed their will with their family members. So the will is this top secret document, and that's actually not good. I think it's positive to have a proper discussion about it with your family. And it's not doomsday, and it's not morbid or anything like that. I mean, it's people come and go, people pass away, and you want to get your family properly prepared. I mean, I've gone through that twice in the last couple of years, and it's a lot to deal with. So that was a good takeaway for me. And then also looking at the state of investments and our gray listing status and things like that. I mean, that is something that you have to navigate somehow. You need to put your money in a system and with a partner that's going to look after it well. So yeah, it was very positive, and some good networking there as well as always. And then also in the January CBN, I did Ask Me Anything with the NAPPAC, the Network Accelerator Program, the youngsters, and that was fascinating. I really enjoyed it. I know you're doing one soon with the NAPPAC as well. And it's cool to listen to the questions that the youngsters come up with, because that gives you an insight into their pain points, what they are thinking about, what they're dealing with. So yeah, it was actually quite lacquer, and I always learn a lot from them as well. I know I'm over 40 now. I'm not necessarily at the cusp of absolutely all the breakthrough stuff that's happening at the moment. So it's good to hear the youngsters. Look at what they're looking at. And just to encourage them, guys, look, you just got to go for it. You've got a massive advantage being connected to some really cool people at a young age. So maximize that opportunity.
Yeah, it's interesting that we can see that we are almost out of touch with the next generation already. Even though I regard myself as young of heart, it's we're definitely older. And they see it as well, although we don't want to accept it. The other day, I worked with a student that is already at varsity. I mean, it's an adult, and she called me whip, and I was rather frustrated at that. But that is reality. And how cool is it that these guys are so into building their own little network, adding value, gaining value, pitching up for an event where they can get access to the likes of yourselves, and I think one or two of your other guys, Grant Webster and so on, also did some talks with those same guys. And how cool is it that they are enabling themselves, that they're actually trying it out and doing that? Now, very cool. I want to quickly jump into the other suits and sneakers one, and then I want to come back to your CBN, because I need to ask you about that shirt that you wore on the night. But apart from that, Pierre Duplessis, wow. I've seen him on LinkedIn. I've listened to the podcast that you did with him last year sometime, which was great. And then I met him for the first time on the night. And obviously, we recognized each other. We go and talk a little bit. And we were standing in a group with a few other people that were there. And what a fascinating guy. I was rather blown away. Just such a relaxed guy. He just interacts with everyone. And I mean, a few tattoos and just being himself, just being there. Not this, I'm going to be on the stage, this superstar speaker. He was in Tanzania the other day. He's traveling the world doing his strategy stuff, but he's a human. And he just talks to everyone. And the guy that I spoke to was there for the first time. And Pierre comes and he starts talking to him, and they just hit it off. And what a cool guy. But on the talk specifically, it was colored in with all these animations. The guy loves an animation movie. He watches it with his kids. I saw posts over the weekend as well that he watched some other movie with his, I think Wally watched it again with his kids. And he colors all his examples in with these movie stuff and characters and references that somewhere in there, you're going to get something that resonates with you. And yes, I really enjoyed that. But at some stage, I thought to myself, I'm rather lost. I'm just not seeing where this is going. There's all these different examples. And then closer to the end, probably two-thirds in, maybe three-quarters in, starts bringing it all together. And it's all about this chaos. And that we, by nature, we either fight, flight, or freeze. We all know that those things where you, if something happens, you want to fight back or you want to run away. And then the freeze one is rather new to me, but I am unfortunately probably that guy. I'm like just ignoring this. It's not happening. I block it out. But then he challenged us at the end, and I want to quickly go through those 3 points, which I think is great. He says that you find new things, you find change, you find answers in darkness, in the shadows, where really things are totally against you. Nothing's working out. You're in trouble, and you actually don't want to be there. We're totally exposed. Used the term naked. And he says, then you really find these gems. You find this product or this solution or this something that you can take forward. And you don't find it when everything's going well and you've got all the money in the world and whatever. You find it when things are tough. And specifically in shadows, his talk was called In Praise of Shadows. And he says, listen, we need to go and practice this. We need to go and practice how we're going to react and how we expose ourselves to these things, because we don't want to wait until it's really something that gets you in trouble. Why not practice your reactions and get your creativity flowing by exposing yourselves to different things? And he gave three activities, and that to me really struck home. It's things that I can do anyways. I can do it almost any day if I want. And one was, don't use the GPS. We all know our towns, we know our cities, but we only go to the places that we're familiar with. Why not just drive somewhere, walk around there, and you might find a brilliant new restaurant, or you might find a shop that you never knew existed, and it might be something amazing. But we don't allow ourselves the opportunity. We go there because other people said it's good. But if you're in a different part of town, climb out of your car, walk around, get lost, find an art shop, find something that is new, because you've never been there. Don't just go to the places that you're familiar with. Another one that he used that I think is really random is to go to the movies and not to decide on the movie you want to watch before. You decide and say, I'm going into theater number 4, irrespective of what movie's on. And you buy the ticket and you go and watch that movie. And he says, he'll guarantee you that something in that movie will resonate. Some phrase, some scene, something will resonate with you. Something will give you a perspective that you've never embraced and never known, which I think is also very cool, because we don't do it. We Netflix and so on forces us almost into similar things that we have watched in the past, and it doesn't give us that opportunity to see something new. And the last one is something that I need to focus on a bit myself as well, is to go and learn something new, learn something hard, something real that you go dig in because you don't know jack about it. And I think that takes a bit more time, but it's something we all can do because we all know our industries and our work so well. Do we really explore change, new things that much? And I think when you got to that point, that was obviously very much at the end. People were just stunned. But yeah, very good talk. By the way, Mark, and I think I mentioned it to you, Mark also referenced you as the person that got him on the trail of Pierre because of the podcast last year. And I think, quite surprising. The guy that sat next to me, I just met him on the night and I told him I sit here because he didn't know anyone else there. He's just started looking at me. He's like, he hears the podcast name, which he heard 5 minutes before from me. He hears my name from the stage because Mark said, oh, yeah, John and Rudolph do this podcast, and Rudolph is here tonight. And then obviously you mentioned you're quite a great, also with the lift stuff that you guys do with suits and sneakers. So very funny moment in the build up to the talk. But you're such an enjoyable thing. And I met two or three guys. I deliberately went that night and maybe to talk about connections and networking and so on a bit. I deliberately went that evening not to just go and talk to 20 people and meet and greet and grab business cards. I thought to myself, I'm going early. I'm going to pick up two people that I'm just going to talk to. And in the end, I only spoke to one guy at length. And I greeted about 5 or 10 others that were more familiar. But I really just built relations with one person. And I think we haven't really moved on from there. But I think if we see each other again, it's going to be a lot more comfortable and a lot more relational than that first interaction where we just started to get to know each other. Yeah, that's a long story from me now, John. So now I want to come back to your Hawaiian shirt, because I saw on LinkedIn on the photos that you were very relaxed, and it was obviously your last CBN. And just to clarify that, it's your last one that you are leading. But you still stay in Clara Ana, and you're still going to be involved in attending and maybe referring people to go and talk there or to go and attend. But so you're not disappearing off the earth. It's just that you're not going to be the organizer.
Yes, 100%. So I chose that shirt because it was very hot. I think it was like 35, 36 degrees. I wasn't going to wear a suit and tie. I wasn't going to dress up too fancy. I'm like, okay, what am I going to be comfortable in? And I got this new shirt at Woolies and said, well, yeah, I haven't worn this out in public yet. And it was louder than I thought. It looks like a Hawaiian shirt. You can go check it out on LinkedIn. But yeah, it was, I called it my retirement shirt because I was retiring from the CBN team. But yeah, it was a lucky event, and I'm glad I wore that shirt. My wife wore a beautiful dress, and we got some nice photos from Stefan to wrap up my time, as the coordinator of the CBN. Yeah, I'm still bittersweet about it, but it's definitely the right decision. It's, doing this path with first Gerard, and then Gavin and Anthony coming on board, and then Kirsty joining last year. It's been a lot of fun, learned a lot, been able to test a lot of things, try some different things, see what works and what doesn't work. We had the mayor of Cape Town twice. It was absolutely jam-packed. We had yourself come and present as well. We had your Don come and visit. We had Chris Fenning. We had a whole bunch of really, really cool people. So it was a great platform. I learned a lot. So it was nice to experiment in public and try some different things. But yeah, it's time to move on and to apply that knowledge and what I've learned to other events. That's going to come up later in the year. But I just wanted to comment on what you said about what Pierre talked about. Look, he's definitely a fascinating guy. Really enjoy talking to him always. I mean, he's been a church leader. He's been a fashion designer. Now he's in the strategy space. So he's got this very wide, wide, wide view on life, which I think is very, very cool, because he's not your normal person. And you don't always need regular normal people are necessarily going to give you the best strategy advice. But because Pierre's got this massive experience and he's got a very unique outlook on life, I think he can, and he does really well with that. And what I liked about him is, like, so Eric's talk was more on certainty, and we are addicted to certainty. That's why we use a GPS. We want to only drive to the road that's going to take us to our destination. We can't dare get lost. We only want to watch the movie that we're certain is going to be worthwhile. Like, we don't want to take a chance on anything anymore. We want certainty in life. And Pierre's like saying, bugger that, man, just drive and see what you find, or pick a theater and see what you end up watching. It might be a life-changing moment. So we are addicted to the certainty, such an uncertain world, and we're holding on to it instead of saying, hey, a little bit of uncertainty is okay, and it gets us out of our comfort zone, and that's sometimes where the magic happens. So Rudolf, you've got also the right place, Pretoria. You've had an event with Gerald, beginning of the year. How did that go? And now looking ahead to your next event with Charles.
The first event of the year is always fascinating. It's always interesting. It's always a bit fuller as well. People are still in that New Year's resolutions where they want to go and attend stuff and they want to build their year out. But yeah, Gerald always surprises me. I think when you speak to him in person, he's quite reserved. But when he climbs on the stage, it just pops out of him. It's just in his comfort zone suddenly. I think he derives energy from that. But yeah, very, very good talk. We had a chat about value, adding value and packaging value for your customers and not just looking at price. So how to move away from price as a determining factor, but actually the value that you are giving. And yeah, lots of interaction. I think I probably stayed there for more than an hour afterwards, just chatting to people, connecting with a few new faces that I haven't seen before. And because we're much smaller, we're about 30 or so on the night, I get to recognize everyone later on. I get to know the people a bit more intimately because it's so small. And yeah, very, very cool every time that there's new people to just go and stand with them, figure out what they do, how we can connect them with someone else that's maybe also there as part of our little structure. And really enjoyable evening. I did run around quite a bit, just getting stuff sorted out. So it's different if you attend an event versus when you lead the event, because then you need to be sure everything's working. And luckily, Mariana's also there to help out with a few of the admin stuff. Yeah, I'm talking about the one with Charles coming up. Again, focusing on pricing yourself against the value that you are giving, and also focusing on not just the expertise, because we're all experts in a specific space. We're experts in what we do. We understand our game. We understand our roles. We understand our expertise, our subject matter. But are we able to convert that into some rhetoric that someone else can get value from? Can I move from just being the absolute expert to actually selling that expertise to someone? And I think that Charles always fascinates me with his knowledge on the sales specific topics, because sales is a learned skill. You cannot sell something that you don't understand. I fully believe that because I need to know my subject, but I cannot just sell because I'm an expert. You need those salespeople, and how do you link these two to each other? And especially if it's the same person. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that 25 March at Ocean Basket at Centurion Mall, and the invite's obviously open to anyone who wants to attend that, but. Yeah, something that I believe is topical, irrespective of your day job, irrespective of what you do for a living, because we're all essentially salespeople for the product that our own business or the place that we work for offers. Because if it doesn't make money, you're not going to work there anymore. And it's a skill that we all should have to convert whatever we are doing into something of value to someone else. So yeah, last year we decided to change the name to The Right Place Pretoria. I think it's fitting. I think it works well in terms of the fact that we're not in Irene anymore. We're now hosting it physically in Centurion and not in Irene. So I considered using Centurion as a base, and I thought then it might just sound like limiting it to people from Centurion again. And the Irene guys might just say, listen, I stay in Centurion. So I said, let's make it Pretoria. If someone else wants to start one in Fairy Glen or somewhere in Pretoria, it's also good. But we're going to use Pretoria as a basis. And I think the momentum we've had is also quite nice. We've got loyal guys that come every time, but there's this desire from people, this urge that they want to go and listen to someone that they can learn from. And these guys come once in a while. once every now and then. But there's real value to those who attend. And I think that is to me that what always surprises me is that people come there, listen, and they can go away with something tangible, something that they can use the next day already.
No, that's excellent, Rudolf. I think you've got a good thing going in just to build on that momentum. And remember, I mean, you've got this kind of cross-pollination happening currently because, I mean, you're very visible on the podcast, on LinkedIn, doing the right place, Pretoria. You're attending events with Suits and Sneakers, involved with the Lacquer Network as well. So you're becoming a very useful person to know. And I think people will definitely find value in that. And again, it's just about the consistency of showing up. And it's one of the things we've reiterated on the podcast quite a few times is that you need to do networking consistently and pick one or two events that you're going to attend regularly on a monthly basis and just stick with those. I think it's, if you're just going to show up at the right place, Pretoria, once a year, the thing is, nothing happened. I didn't get any sales. But if you showed up 10, 11 times, you're going to build a relationship with yourself. You're going to get to know Rudolf. You're going to get to know some other people that attend, your Don, maybe Mariana is also incredibly well connected in a variety of circles. So putting yourself out there consistently. I mean, we've keep saying that is the magic formula. And there isn't a shortcut to that. There isn't a shortcut. Unless you're going to bribe Rudolf $1 million, hey, tell me who to talk to. There isn't any other way, actually. And I really think that people need to take that to heart. I mean, I've seen that with Will's walks on a Friday when we climbed Lion's Head. You meet new people, and you might say 5 or 10 words to them on the first time. And then the second time I go, then we end up walking next to each other for 10, 15 minutes, and you learn what their business is about. And then the next time you can check in on that person. Hey, how did that launch go? Or how did this event go? And that's how you build the relationship. So I've seen it because it's a very consistent event. It's every week. This is an anomaly. It's not like a once a month event. It's every week. But every week you can see the relationship develop. You have a bit of a deeper conversation. You know a little bit more about their family, their children, what they're up to, what they're studying, if they're writing a book. And then the guys go to a coffee shop afterwards, and it's a different type of conversation as well. And you don't have to even say anything. You can literally just sit and observe people talking. You can hear what's going on in their life. You can hear what's what their pain points are, and you can make a contribution, or you can say, hey, man, I think you should speak to Ben, or you should speak to David about this. And that's been really wonderful to see. So I really encourage people, you got to find your space. And we've spoken about the environment. You need to be in a positive, engaging environment that you can have these conversations. And like you were so deliberate at Suits and Sneakers, you didn't want to say, listen, I want to speak to 20 people tonight. I'm going to throw my business card around the room. All that you did is I'm going to speak to two people. And you end up having a longer conversation with one person. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because, I mean, the next time you meet up, you've already got this rapport with them. You've got this ability to pick up the pieces and have a conversation. And maybe they can introduce you to someone further down the line. So I think there's a lot of potential there. People just need to kind of get out of their own way, slow down a little bit, and the magic will happen. Rudolf, looking ahead to the Lacquer Network launch, which is coming up next week, the 14th, I know you're coming down. I know your Don is coming down. I know there's some other cool people flying in from all over the world, the Far East and London and everything. What has been your experience so far with the Lacquer Network, and are you excited to come to the launch?
Yeah, John, very much so. I think the Lacquer Network has this bubbling atmosphere at the moment where I don't think we've got it all figured out yet. I don't think anyone has, but it's this evolving process, and like Renish says, we're still building in public. It's still gaining momentum, but wow, what an incredible group of people. I think there's almost 200 or so members already. It's been very active. Those WhatsApp groups sometimes are muted just to get my work done. But it's really been exciting listening and seeing how people interact. And what I do like is the interaction between local and externally based, internationally based guys where people would give each other almost free advice or steer each other into direction because I'm staying in the Netherlands and I've gone through this process in the past. I know how to operate within the Netherlands. And if I want to bring something from South Africa to the Netherlands, those guys are there. They are already in that space. They understand one or two hiccups and they might just know someone who can assist you with X, Y, and Z. And that has been, I think, the biggest thing for me. I might add that in the Pretoria area, we are very small. We're only a few people in this side, whereas in the Cape Town side, there's a whole host of people. And I think it's quite exciting to see how they interact on that front. We've had a breakfast or two, and I've visited one or two of the Pretoria guys at their businesses. So get to know these people. And again, it's just an opportunity to see new people that I would never have met if I didn't come across them from the Napier Network side. And one guy in Pretoria has a big business where they built safes and different cabinets and stuff from plated sheets and so on. Very interesting business, massive place. And then from the offcuts, they started building canopies and outdoor equipment and things. And I obviously like camping, so I went straight to him, like, no, let me come and see how this works. And he ran me, we probably had a chat for 2 hours at his business, walked through both the factories and the warehouses and stuff. And I connected him, I think, with about five people that I know in the different spaces on the outdoor stuff, people that I've built relationships with over the past, from Tentco as an example, which is a big camping safari tent business. And then one or two other people in the mobile operator space, cell phone towers and stuff, where they need those safes for the solar batteries and things. So I think there's real value in there. But again, there's value in it if you are going to be useful, if you're going to take part, if you're going to announce yourself and drive certain processes. There's no value in joining any network and just sitting on the side and listening. You will get to know one or two people, but you won't derive any real value from that. And I think the drive should be, how can I assist? How can I help you? And then later on, people would want to help you as well. I fully believe that. And I don't help people because I think I'm going to get something back from them immediately. I help them because I want to be useful. I want to be able to connect them and improve what they're doing because I have that access in one or two other spaces. And if I don't have any access, then at least I get to know a new person. But I'm very, very, excited about the launch as well. I think the fact that I've had multiple Zoom meetings with different Lekker Network people already, members already, and now getting this opportunity to meet them face to face because we all stay over the whole country and over the world almost. I think that is the exciting part, to be able to shake a hand and to just see if we resonate with each other in real life as well. John, you've got a very exciting weekend in that you are the MC, if I'm not mistaken, of this launch event.
Yes. So, Rania asked me, and I didn't have a good enough reason to say no. So I said yes. And you're really looking forward to it. I think it's probably the biggest event that I'll ever MC, at least for now. So, really looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing some of the famous people that will be there as well, which is cool. And yeah, I just want to make a positive contribution, put the audience first, keep things moving in a lack of direction. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think Renee and the team are working their absolute backsides off on this. This is what he was telling me on last week's pod as well. So I really think we're in for a big show. I think it's going to be really lacquer. You only get to launch something once, hey? So they might as well do it properly. Looking forward to seeing you there. I'm grateful that you're coming down. It's going to be good to see your Don. Some of the youngsters from the NAPPAC are going to be there as well, which is really cool. Some of them you've met already, like Devon. And I think it's going to be a really, really lekker event. It's positive to be part of something like this, especially at the beginning. It would have been really bad to only join something like this, like 2 or 3 years in, where there's been so much momentum and so many lekker connections. And I haven't had any bad experiences yet. And it's good to connect with people. I've sent some people your way. You've sent some people my way already. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where this is going to go. There's some really good people behind this, as well. It's not just Rainier. It's Nick Latouf. It's Guy Ellis. There's some really, really cool people here. So it's exciting, man. It's really exciting. It's been a bumper beginning to the networking year. As you see, we've been attending events all over the place, making some cool connections. And yeah, I think the highlight, or one of the highlights of the year, is definitely going to be the launch in a few days' time. Rudolf, I think we're going to leave it there for this episode. Looking forward to seeing you in a few days' time at the Lacquer Network. Looking forward to meeting some of our subscribers and super fans and people that we've connected with on Zoom as well. It's going to be a Lacquer week. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, likewise, John. I think it's always exciting when there's this air of expectancy. Something's going to happen, and it's only a week away. And you can't imagine last year when they announced the date, I thought, oh, why do you do it so late in the year? And now it's upon us, and you can really feel people being energized by the fact that I think people are really looking forward to it, and me as well included in that. And I think the consistency is the big thing here. Consistency of pitching up, consistency of your message, and the realness, the authenticity of how you do things. Because if you're just going to go and get there to hand out your business card, people are going to walk away. And they'll take the business card, but they're not going to do anything with it. If you are just yourself, you start being a friend almost, you start being a familiar face, and they see that you are dependable, that you are loyal, that you have value to add, then I think in the long run, it will be the right place for you. We need to be ourselves in all of these settings. So I'll still work on how I'm going to prepare. I believe in preparing for these events. You can't just pitch up there think your charm's going to work. Be prepared. Go to these events as a person that wants to be there, that wants to make an impact, and see how you can help other people as well. Yeah, John, thanks. I can't believe we can talk so long for about the few events that have already taken place during this year. But I'm sure if we allowed ourselves, we could probably spend the day.
No, excellent, Rudolf. It's been a great chat. Nice to reflect on these events. I think the learning is solidified when we reflect on these events, yeah, and the takeaways, and we take them on board and they become part of our daily routines or our thought patterns and things like that. So it's important to do that, not just attend events and go home and everything stays the same. Like, take proper takeaways. There's always something that you can take away. Like you said, like watching a movie that you don't know anything about, there's something that's going to stand out, one line, one paragraph, or one scene that can change your life, and that can just change the way you see the world. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing you in a couple of days' time. Thank you to our listeners and subscribers. Please share this video with anyone that wants to connect with us as well. Connect with us on LinkedIn as well. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you hopefully at the Lacquer launch, Lacquer Network launch, in a few days' time. Subscribe to the Right Place podcast. Share this episode with your connections and any other Lacquer Mensa. And yeah, Rudolf, we'll see you next time at the Right Place.